As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Who doesn't love cereal? Oh, yeah. The crunch. The sweetness. The way you can accidentally eat a whole box or sneak it in as a midnight snack.
Go to MagicSpoon.com/onion to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try the magic for yourself. And be sure to use our promo code ONION at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/onion and use the code ONION to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. Hey you, have you got Bush? Well, you definitely do if you haven't tried the best products from our sponsor today, Manscaped. Taking control of your bush is very important, and we can help you out as well, because we can give you our discount code ONION for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, and use our code ONION. It's time to get you leveled up with the ultimate bushwhacking tools from Manscaped.
Harmonize with me and hold me tight all through the night. You're shining bright. I'm your oyster, baby. You're my pearl.
Hey, Dom.
Hey.
Here we are.
And when you say here, we're in a new studio.
It smells fantastic. Like elderberry.
Deep, rich mahogany. As you can see, this. I was going to say this is mahogany. It's not mahogany, but it smells like.
It's mahogany underneath there. Dom, here we are.
Yeah.
Outside here. It could well be. Yeah. I think it's Fangorn Forest.
Lovely.
There.
We've got a whole bunch of memorabilia that people have sent to us over the last year or so. So if you want to send things to us, please do. And we'll put it up on the walls.
Yes, we'd love to stick all this stuff up on the walls.
We absolutely would. there's little figures of Billy and I over there. There's pictures of us. Billy, of course, I'd love for you to consistently show me your hand in terms of the map of the United States. But if we need a visual reference, we've got one on the board.
We have a shelf.
We have a shelf that includes a lot of the foods that we're hoping to feature on Billy and Dom Eat the World. So if you want to send us stuff and get on the shelf, that would mean in the next, you know, month or two, hopefully, we'll pull down stuff from that shelf and eat the world with it.
Get yourself on the shelf. That's what we're saying.
Lovely. Hey, there's a package here which is for both of us, but I think you've been waiting for this longer than I have. Do you want
to? To me, Dom. To me.
To you.
Hold on. Hey, we've got new mics as well. They sound good, don't
they? New mics. We've got guests today. We've got a whole bunch of housekeeping to do, but open that thing for
right. Hold on.
Because this is
it's going to be. It's going to be like Tarantino, isn't it?
Yeah.
No light.
Oh, this is. This is going to go up on the shelf.
Hold on. Where's my glasses, Dom?
He never knows where his glasses is. Guys, we're also doing live shows. We've done a few live shows. You might have recently seen the live show that we did in Where were we? Florida. We just did a live show in Dallas. We've got live shows coming up in Boston and Toronto and Chicago. Buy your tickets at Fan Expo.
This weekend, if you're on any of our pages, YouTube or podcast or anything, you'll be able to see a link. This weekend, we're in Chicago.
Chicago, the Windy City.
The Windy City. City of big shoulders and good times.
Yeah, we're going to have fun there.
Hey, Tom.
What have you got?
I don't know if you can see in the front. Oh, you probably can, so that's giving it away a little. Yeah. But do you remember your first subscriber?
No.
Your 100th?
No.
Or your 1,000th?
No.
Chances are you do.
Oh, I do, yeah.
And we know that you'll definitely remember your 100,000th subscriber. 100,000? How do you say that?
100,000.
So a lot of THs.
No, I don't think there's a TH after the 100. I think it's 100,000th.
So there's only one?
Yeah.
So your 100,000th. Oh, so there's two. Because one at the start of 1,000 and one at the end of 1,000.
Yeah, 100.
But not one at the end of 100.
No.
100,000th.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'm not going to read the whole thing.
Yeah, we're over-egging this a little bit.
Because we've got guests and all that.
Yeah, just
get
it out.
But look what we've got, Tom.
Whoa, that's a
YouTube plaque. Presented to the Friendship Onion for passing 100,000 subscribers.
That's quite beautiful, actually.
That is actually real platinum.
Mm.
And it's worth $100,000.
Wow, put it up on the shelf.
Yeah, well.
I look forward to our millionth subscriber, which we're not too far away from.
We need to get 200,000. People out there, could you get your friends to subscribe? So that we can get more of these plaques and absolutely cover the walls with it.
Yeah, if you're listening to the Friendship Onion or if you're subscribing to the... checking out the Friendship Onion, subscribe to it so that we can... I'll put it up maybe there temporarily. Yeah. So that we can keep making the show. That's the thing I keep saying to people. If we don't keep getting subscribers, sooner or later, Billy and I will have a very sad day of saying, sorry guys, we'll have to
stop. Dom will quit, I'll tell you that. Yeah. I'll tell you that right now.
Mm-hmm.
You will quit. I know what you're like.
Hey, I heard a great phrase. I was watching a William Friedkin documentary, the guy who directed The Exorcist and Sorcerer and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he said a really interesting phrase I thought was interesting.
Go.
The word possesses more S's than any other word possesses. Quite good, that, isn't it?
That could be one of our tongue twisters.
Mm.
The word possesses more S's than any other word possesses.
Interesting, isn't it?
That is fantastic. Peeling the onion.
Hey, should we do a bit of housekeeping before we bring our guest in?
Housekeeping! How much fun are you to keep a household clean and true?
This comes from Annabelle. I'm going to say Jacquard. Do you want to do a little troubleshooting of that last name?
Jacquard. Yes.
From location unknown. A lot of people live in location unknown.
Yeah.
She says, my question to you both is first, if Lord of the Rings characters listen to modern day music artists, which artists do you think they would listen to while on their journey? What's their kind of motivating song or artist to listen to whilst heading to the Mountain of Mordor?
Britney Spears.
Yeah, I think that's a good show.
Yeah, I think she'd keep you going, keep you up, as it were.
Oh, she keeps me up.
And, you know, she'd head you right over that mountain.
Mm. Great answer. Okay, Bill's next.
On a recent show, you discuss films. This is from Dylan D. Again, location unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan D says, on recent show, you discuss films. It was a lot of fun to watch you both review the film, and that would make an awesome section for the show.
Mm.
He's got an idea for a name.
Okay.
Billy and Dom at the movies.
We go to the movies quite a lot, don't we?
We could talk about movies.
Yeah, we enjoy it.
See, I remember when we first started this, I said to you, I don't know if it's a good idea, because I don't... You know what I mean? We work as actors.
Yeah.
And then we have to say to a director, that movie was rubbish.
Yeah, it didn't work for me. Yeah, yeah. So...
But should we just do it now?
Yeah, we would have to stay positive. I mean, we could recently review the new Top Gun movie.
You sounded like a wee dog there.
We love the new Top Gun movie. I went to see Elvis at the weekend.
I haven't seen it yet.
I loved it, but I
no spoilers.
Elvis. No spoilers.
Does it go to Vegas?
Yeah.
Well, spoiler.
You know, yeah, you know what happens with Elvis. Yeah, I loved it. It was, I mean, just his music comes across fantastic. And Baz Luhrmann's team are fantastic at remixing songs from the past and giving them kind of a new flavor.
Yeah, he's good at that,
very
isn't
good.
He? And do you know what I loved about Elvis, Tom?
The guy or the film?
The guy.
Yeah, the man.
Even more than his music.
Mm, his hair.
His movies.
No, you didn't.
I did. Growing up, as a young boy, I loved Elvis's movies.
Wow, because they're a bit cheesy, aren't they?
I don't care. Okay. I haven't watched one for a long time. There's the first Billion Dollar at the Movies. Mm. Do you mind if I pick which one?
Viva Las Vegas.
Nope.
Okay, go on. What will it be?
The one in Hawaii. What's that? Blue Hawaii.
Blue Hawaii, okay.
Why don't we watch that together or apart?
Okay.
And then we'll do Billy and Dom at the movies and we'll do Elvis's Blue Hawaii.
Right. I think he goes water skiing, doesn't he?
I think he probably does.
All right, cool. This from El Esla, not Elsa, Esla in Maryland, who says, there's an episode from a few months back titled something like Merry and Pippin's Superpowers. For reasons uncaffeinated, I misread Pippin as Pigeon. So naturally, I have to ask, if you had a super pigeon, what special powers would you give it and what would you use it for? Thanks for being the high positive energy and insightful interviewers. It always makes me look forward to kickstarting my day. Well, thank you, Esla.
That's good, though.
I would have a pigeon that at certain times in the day, I could see what it saw for like 10 or 15 minutes. I get to be its eyes. And I would ask it to maybe fly into like important government meetings and stuff like that.
Cool.
It could be a coup.
So is that not your
get
superpower?
What?
That's more your superpower than
good
the pigeons.
Point. Yeah, good point. Yeah, but is she just saying if you could have a pigeon, like what superpower would you give so that it could just
help
independently
you
be a superpower? Yeah, good point.
I don't know, Tom.
What would yours be that it could fly?
Wait a minute, hold on. Like, I've got to think about this because it's actually quite good.
Yeah, it's a good one.
What about, you know that, I'm stuck on Billy and Don do the movies.
Mm.
What, you remember that movie where I think it's called About Time?
Mm, lovely movie.
And the guy can go back, he can travel through time for 24 hours.
Richard Curtis, yeah.
Yeah. No, what if a pigeon could do that?
Right.
And then it would say, I know where there's nuts.
It would say.
I know where there's seeds.
So it's also a speaking pigeon.
Yeah. And it, so if it could relive its life, it would be able to find all the things it wanted to. And if it fancied, you know,
taters,
somebody, he'd know exactly where they were.
Yeah. A lot of people ask me when I do these Q&As,
yeah,
why don't we see baby pigeons?
Yeah.
Because they're in nests. That's why we don't see baby pigeons. You don't see any baby birds, really. You see baby penguins because they're on the ground.
Mm.
And you might see a baby stork because they're in massive nests. But you don't see baby seagulls or baby blackbirds. They sit in a nest and they can't fly until they get to a point where they fly. And when they fly, they look like adult birds. So that's why we don't see baby pigeons. It's like a strange question in nature. Like this weird mystery. Yeah, but why don't we see baby pigeons? You don't see any baby birds.
Yeah. That was well explained.
It gets me a little angry.
Well, no wonder.
Should we do the last one about Trader Joe's? Because you love Trader Joe's.
Well, I don't because I can never figure what to buy in it.
But this might be the thing that turns it around for
you. Go on, Dom. Okay. Let me hear.
Well, I did the last one, so you do this.
All right, sorry. This is Kate from Tumwater,
lovely
Washington.
Sounding place.
Tumwater.
Tumwater.
Well, it depends how you think of it, doesn't it? Because it could also describe diarrhea.
Oh, good point. Yeah, you've ruined it.
Kate says, I love two things from Trader Joe's in particular.
Mm.
They have shelf-stable whipping cream, because it's always nice to have whipping cream available, and it's got a long shelf life.
Mm.
So you don't need to put it in the fridge, is that what you're saying?
I'm worried about that.
Are you?
Cream that you don't have to put in the
fridge. What's in it?
How many chemicals are in that?
Yeah. Unless the can is already a fridge.
Also, it's called whipping cream, but surely it should be called whipped cream, because the cream has been whipped. You're not...
Yeah,
you don't have to take it out and whip it. It's already been whipped.
You're quite angry with the world today.
Yeah,
I like that about you.
Yeah, and then?
And they carry frozen chocolate or almond croissants. How would you pronounce that?
I would say croissant because you and I have spent a significant amount of time in France, haven't we? But over here they say croissant.
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 Do they?
I think they say croissant.
Because I always, when I come to that word, I always have a little delay.
Croissant.
croissant. That's what I would see.
In anyway. Starbucks over here, they look at you like you're being a bit pretentious, don't they?
Could I get that croissant?
Well, probably because you've got a little scarf on and
yeah,
true. Onions around your neck.
Hey, but these sound good. Frozen chocolate or almond croissant?
That you can let rise overnight? How does that work? Then you bake them for 20 minutes or so in the morning. Warm chocolate croissants are the best.
I have to say,
what?
In France, like a coffee and a croissant, it's about as good as food gets, I think. Like a French croissant.
Yeah.
Incredible. But you're basically eating like bready butter, aren't you?
A pan au chocolat.
That's a croissant with chocolate running through in it.
I like it when the pan au chocolate is like a little hard rather than runny.
Bite into it.
Yeah.
Like a little chocolate snake.
And a double espresso. I'm ready for the day, Tom.
Ooh. I'm ready for the toilet after that.
Are you ready for our guests? Oh, no. Well, look, we have no voice.
Calm down, William.
I just saw a segue there.
Yeah. What, one of those machines that take you around?
Yeah, well, they didn't in your studio.
Get a segue out of here. Johnny Clues, hit us with the VMs, buddy.
Hi.
Hi.
There are some European countries that have traditional songs such as Ireland's Whiskey in a Jar. So my question is, have you two ever gotten in the spirit of folk music from any European country? If so, what was your best experience and why?
That's good.
I wonder what the official folk song of England is. Is it Come On Eileen by Dexys Midnight Runners?
Probably is.
It's a pretty good one.
It's got a very specific dance to it. You have to tuck your thumbs into your trousers.
It doesn't feel like a wedding unless you're doing Come On Eileen.
Oh, come on, Eileen. Speeds up.
You like folk music?
I do like folk music. And Scotland has a poet called Robert Burns, who I'm a huge fan of. I think his poetry. He was a working class man, a farmer. And he wrote some of the most beautiful poetry and the most beautiful songs. So songs that he wrote like My Love Is Like a Red, Red Rose. And
Spiky.
What?
Spiky.
I think,
is that what he was getting at?
I don't know. What, do you know what? I've never actually thought about it.
Was he the guy that lived in a cave and saw a spider? Is that the same guy?
No, that was the Robert the Bruce.
Oh, they're not the same person.
No.
Okay.
But they're both called Robert. And so is my dog.
Yeah.
So there you are.
Brilliant. I don't know. We'll look into folk songs. Someone asked me if at the next live podcast we could do the Hokey Cokey.
And that's a good idea.
And I said, I don't think I know the Hokey Cokey.
I know the Hokey Cokey.
Do
you know what we'll do? The slosh.
Don't know it.
I'll teach you it and we'll do the slosh. It's my favourite dance.
Is it? Is it a Scottish dance?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. How well would you take care of your car if you had to keep the same one your entire life? That's how our brain works, so why don't we treat it that way? How we care for our minds affects how we experience life, so it's important to invest time and care into keeping them healthy. There are plenty of ways to support a healthy brain, like learning a new language or taking power naps, and there's also BetterHelp online therapy.
BetterHelp is online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat-only therapy sessions, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours.
Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/onion. That's betterhelp.com/onion.
Hey, you. Yes, you. Do you have bush?
What?
Bush.
Ooh.
You probably do if you don't use these fantastic products from our sponsor today, the Magical Manscaped.
Oh, yes.
Oh, they've got great, great products, Dom, for taking care of your bush.
Mm.
And because, you know, we like people out there, you can get money off with our special code, which is Onion.
Mm.
Use the code Onion, you'll get 20% off all their fantastic products.
And free shipping.
And free shipping.
Yeah, at manscaped.com. And the trimmer is designed to reduce grooming accidents and shave hair on loose skin thanks to a ceramic blade and advanced skin-safe technology.
Very safe.
Also, no need for night vision goggles, you guys. This trimmer has LED lights to allow you to mow the lawn in the dark.
Right, guys. So that's 20% off these fantastic products and free shipping if you go to manscaped.com and you use our code ONION. Mm-hmm. It's time you leveled up your grooming game, and you can do that with the ultimate bushwhacking tools from Manscaped. Next one, Johnny on the Clues.
I just listened to the trailer for the Moriarty series on Audible, and I am so excited for it. I was wondering if you guys could talk about it yet.
We can absolutely talk about it. Audible bringing out a podcast in kind of storybook chapter form.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
In which Billy and I play sleuths in the Sherlock Holmes world, but we're looking at this through the angle of Moriarty and his partner, Moran, are the heroes, and Sherlock Holmes is a bad man. Not Batman. Bad man.
Yeah, so we've turned the story of Sherlock Holmes literally on its head, Tom.
And I remember recording stuff for you and thinking, he is marvellous.
I remember one point you were going off on something about Moriarty, and I got lost in your eyes, Tom. It was nice that we could be in the studio together, because a lot of the time with these audio dramas, the actors come at different times and you're not working together, and or video games, and it was great that we went together and we did all this. And it is really well written. I thought it was a great script.
Yeah, very cool. And we're very excited that it's going to be coming to wherever you get your podcasts sometime in the next month or so, is that?
I have no idea.
Sometimes when I don't know the answer to a question, my voice goes higher.
Well, you're probably hearing in my voice that I have absolutely no idea when it comes out then.
We're not sure, but soon. Thanks for your question. Is that it on the voicemail, Johnny? Is there another one? It's done.
It's a thumbs up from Johnny Clues in the new studio.
We've got guests.
How is it in there, Johnny?
He's loving it. He's absolutely loving it.
Loving it in here.
Oh, what's brilliant. It like? What is this? What is the general sense? What's the general feeling there?
It's a little cold.
Oh, yeah.
Bring this desk is very smooth.
Ooh, very smooth.
Olivia and Trevor are just absolutely wonderful.
Right, okay.
Pressing buttons, plugging in wires, and I don't know what else they're doing. But
well, we're loving
it's wonderful.
It. Okay, well, what a lovely time. Well, William, we've got guests today.
Great guests.
Double trouble. Should we do a little introduction and then bring them in?
A little introduction. We'll let them tune their horns while we're doing the introduction, as it were, Dom.
Not a euphemism.
Hey, Dom, on you go.
We are lovely guests today are the Potash twins.
Yes.
Adiv and Ezra Potash, pronounced Potash. So I got it wrong. Professionally known as the Potash Twins, are American identical twin musicians and television personalities from Omaha, Nebraska. The twins have hosted several TV shows on Food Network, Bravo TV, and Travel Channel that perform with John Legend, wow, Diplo, Snoopy Doggy Dog.
Yes.
A Little Baby, John Baptiste, who we work with on Colbert, of course, Robert Glasper, Major Lazer, amazing band, and Wynton Marsalis.
Oh, they've worked with them all, Dom.
They've done a lot.
They're fantastic and very good hosts as well with their TV shows, and they have fantastic glasses, and I enjoy a nice pair of glasses, as you know, Dom.
Yeah, of course. Well, should we bring in the Potash twins, and then we can ask them all about what it feels like to be a twin?
Adiv and Ezra, come on in. You're the first guest in the new studio.
I don't even know what to say. Personally, I'm honored because we're longtime listeners of the Friendship Podcast.
Cool.
But to break in a new space, to entrust us with that, I don't even know. I'm kind of speechless, personally.
Listen, it's all new to us, too. And it's nice. It's a nice energy in this room. I like it.
It's beautiful.
I like it as well, yeah.
Also, I like the green. Oh, sorry to cut
no,
you.
No, it's all right. Billy had a significantly shorter drive, which you really love, don't you, Billy?
I really love that as well. It feels like there's more space.
Mm.
I like that we've got kind of upgraded the cameras and stuff.
Ooh.
I like the dartboard. I'm not great at darts, but I feel like we should take that on today at some point. I feel like we have to break that in.
I mean, unless you're professional, is anyone really good at darts? I feel like it's like pool. If you have just the right amount of beer, maybe a pint or two, maybe you get in the zone with darts, but most people are not that good at darts.
Is it being in the zone, or is it just being overly confident? Because to me, those two go hand in hand.
Yeah, maybe like not caring that much, you know?
Right, and that's when it all happens for
right.
you.
And if anyone who doesn't know how to play darts, if you play the actual real game, you have to finish on a double, which is the little thin bit at the end. And that's actually really hard.
Yeah, is anyone actually capable of doing that? Or do you have to be professional?
It sounds like Billy's a stickler for the rules.
He's very good.
Of the game of darts.
So Billy is why the dartboard's even here?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
He's a good pool player, Billy, and he's good at darts. My favorite bar game is shuffleboard. You guys mess around with shuffleboard?
Oh, yeah. Okay,
I totally just hit you. I'm sorry about that.
Did.
Well, this is actually hilarious because there's a developing story happening right now. We just got back from Kansas City the day before yesterday, and we whooped. I'm easing into it, but we were performing at something called the Big Slick, which is Paul Rudd, Jason Sudeikis, Eric Stone Street, Rob Riggle.
They all are from Kansas City, so they all do like one big charity event.
Uh-huh.
And in the late hours of the night, literally yesterday, 24 hours
ago. The day before
ago,
yesterday, yeah.
Adam Scott challenged me to cornhole, and I didn't miss a hole for 20 things straight, and he was on like some show, press show yesterday, and he was talking about he thought it was you that kicked
He thought it was, I always get the credit for
You're
things
in the
he
zone.
Does.
You're
yeah.
in the zone.
I
yeah.
was.
And, yeah, it's just
I'm hoping that can shift into darts, but I don't know if that's possible.
Well, we were just talking about, you know, playing these games that nobody really has a good skill on, but they're just fun social games.
Yeah, yeah.
And I love darts, but I don't have a dartboard at home. I feel
you
like
should,
maybe
you
I
should
do
get
that.
One. Mm-hmm. My son's got one in his room, and I'll occasionally go in and just show him how brilliant I am.
Well, I mean, you have to kind of refresh their memory as often as you
it's,
can.
It's,
right?
it's a good idea, isn't it?
Have you ever gone in there and there's a photo of you
on the actual
No.
I would hate that, Tom.
Teenagers.
Yeah, I know what they're
If it hasn't happened yet, it probably will happen, I would
assume. I think so.
Well, thanks for coming on the show. We totally appreciate it.
Yeah.
We love having people on that are passionate about the jobs that they do, because maybe you guys could inspire people to, you know, be passionate about
I doubt that'll choices. Happen coming
We're really
from
only
us, but...
passionate about Lord of the Rings, so...
Okay. No, well...
And jazz music.
And
course. And food. We dabble in the food world stuff, too.
Well, I know. Yeah. I was watching an episode and you were off chasing a lizard man.
Oh, right, God, that was a long time ago. Oh, that, my God. We never found this supposed lizard man.
But. I think because he doesn't exist. I think that's probably the reason.
I think that had something to do with it, for sure.
I mean, we never saw any, you know, trace evidence of existence. So I think you're probably in the right space there.
Well, let's go back a little bit to when you guys started, you know, kind of making sense of what you were going to do with your career. Had you guys spoken about always wanting to work together, or did you just kind of fall into
Literally,
it?
Literally, we never had a conversation like, we want to do the same thing. We want to go into entertainment at all, really. And we both just kind of gravitated towards the exact same passions. And then we both got kind of good at doing them. Mm-hmm. And we're like, we got to do it together at this point.
Well, and we sort of talk about, especially with jazz and playing horns, like this concept of twin tuition. Like when we were growing up, we kind of like spoke our own gibberish. When you're really young, like as a twin, it's like a pretty common like phenomenon that happens. Mm-hmm. And we sort of saw that kind of carried over into the music, like especially with improvising and jazz, like you kind of click into these same kind
like
of like
finish each other's sentences, but musically.
Right.
That's
very cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And and then we kind of just like kept working on that. We both went to school in New York City. I went to Manhattan School of Music and he went to SUNY Purchase. And we just kind of worked at it and got a lot better at being horn players, and then the, kind of the rest was history.
So hold on, let's go further back then. So you guys grew up where?
In Omaha, Nebraska.
Nebraska.
It's cold. Wait. That's what I know.
You can't tell from my accent that that's where I came from.
No.
But do you guys have Nebraskan accents
a
little bit?
No. It's actually famous for having no accent whatsoever, which is why a lot of the national newscasters
came from
Omaha.
There, yeah.
Now, Dom is not very good at the geography of the United States of America. No. As you can see behind, this is how we work it out. It out on my hand.
So you guys can see
Florida. Yeah. And then don't tell Dom yet. And then up here is New York. And then over here, my fingers, that's California.
Right.
So where is Nebraska?
I don't know, but I do know it's I know it's cold. Nebraska's cold, right? Because I've seen the film. So I'm going to say kind of up north.
Canada's up here.
Billy's watcher was talking to him there. I'm going to say, give us your finger. Go. All the way over to like your thumb, and then go up into the middle, and then across a little bit. There.
See
what the boys think.
Okay. So that looks like the Northeast to me, just based off of the hand.
Nebraska's like dead center of the country.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, Why is it so cold? Or is it not?
It is cold. Yeah, it's cold. But it's like kind of this weird thing where it's not quite the north and not quite the south. So it kind of it has a little
and
bit
not
of
really
a,
east or west either.
I guess that's what being in the freaking center would mean.
It
does have like classic Midwest weather, like really bad snow in the winter,
tornadoes.
Yeah,
but the funniest thing about it is that it has no identifying like characteristics at all. It just is like a classic Midwestern.
Famous people that have come out.
Alexander Payne, Warren Buffett. That's pretty much
famous
the
foods. Famous
the Runza,
Omaha steaks. We have a bunch of meat. The Runza, which is like a hot pocket.
Regional fast food chain that we love it. It's just like
you would think it was like Subway, but it's like completely sealed and just filled with like cabbage and ground beef. Okay. It's actually pretty good, but it doesn't...
I think it originated, it was like a Polish thing?
Yeah, Bierock or something like that.
How do you guys feel about the Nebraskan film, Nebraska?
I loved it.
We've had like lunch with Alexander Payne before, and I think he's a genius. I liked that movie. I thought the cast was insane.
And Will Forte. Yeah. Was that like his first drama?
Oh, is that right?
I think.
Did you like it? I liked it, but I feel like...
Great cast.
I mean, if they made a movie about like the town where you're
mom,
from...
The mom completely stole the show. She was hilarious.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name, though.
Yeah,
she was great though. I agree.
Didn't steal it that much then.
So you're in Nebraska, and then you're going to start a music.
Mind the mahogany.
I know that. I've got this stuck under my bum, you know. And then you're going to start music. Do you straight away say it's a trumpet and a trombone, or do you say, give us a guitar?
I picked up the trumpet first.
Right.
Well, I guess we did start on guitar and piano and stuff like that. But
hold on.
Yeah.
We have to get something straight, and it's a horrible twin thing.
Yes.
Which one's which, and which one plays what?
Adiv, trumpet.
Ezra, trombone. Yeah.
Adiv. And how do people say Adiv's Adiv, other than he's holding a trumpet?
D-dent. I have like a scar here, and they say D-dent.
D-dent.
Adiv-dent. Dent.
He's got a dent.
But also we
Ezra.
Go by...
Trombone.
Yeah, right. I've
but also we go by S and D, so like if that's easier to do.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Billy and I get confused with each other all the time. We don't even look anything like each other. So for you guys, it must be a minefield.
People will bring pictures of Dom in Lost for me to sign.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, how does that happen?
Well, speaking of which, I mean, I feel like in the Lord of the Rings movies, like you guys have a very brotherly dynamic.
Absolutely.
So I think that. You know, Merry and Pippin.
Yeah, but I mean, bringing like Dom's picture. Well, that's just.
I mean, I don't want to defend that baby.
I think
to
give him the benefit of the doubt, and Billy and I have talked about this ad nauseum. I think it's because we're generally always together in the film. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, I'm sure for us guys, we probably don't get confused with R2-D2 and C-3PO. But I think a lot of people are like, well, which one's which? Because they're always together.
Right.
So that
just
means they've only seen Fellowship of the Ring?
Yeah, maybe.
Because once you get the two towers, it's like really obvious who's
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
I mean, we're also just asking for it. Like, we don't dress alike like at all, really, but it's just the glasses. But yeah, I mean, we're asking for it. So when people get us mixed up, it is not.
Yeah,
we're just so used to it. We're numb to it at this point.
Right. The Conqueror teamed up with Warner Brothers Consumer Products and designed five iconic
virtual challenges to take everyone from the enchanting Bag End to the unknown depths of Mordor. The Conquering Virtual Challenges was created in 2016 to help solve one of the biggest problems that many people face in their lives, starting and sticking to regular exercise to enhance and maintain health and well-being. And it's working. So far, The Conqueror has helped over 400,000 people globally. Mm. Who says sports and fantasy don't have a lot in common? So, Billy, how does it work?
Well, it's simple, Dom. You scan the QR code and download the Conqueror Challenges app. Join the first challenge using your unique codes and don't stop until you reach Mordor. Follow the same path as the Fellowship and go through the five trails in the same order. The Shire, the Fellowship, Mines of Moria, the Eye of Sauron, and Mordor. Walk, run, cycle, do any of the activities to advance on the Middle Earth map. Enjoy stories and postcards every time you reach a milestone. Get five beautifully crafted medals for each challenge completed and help the One Ring travel from mesmerizing Hobbiton to dreadful Mount Doom.
As you progress through the challenge, you'll unlock postcards and stories when you reach certain milestones. The stories are inspired by the narrative of the film trilogy with hand-picked images and captions that add rich contextual information. Each postcard comes with a challenge-specific artwork, design, and exciting information highlighting key locations.
That's fantastic, Tom. Now, where can listeners go to find it?
That's very simple, Bills. The app can be found at theconqueror.events/onion. That's theconqueror.events/onion. Theconqueror.events/onion.
Green Chef is a CCOF certified meal kit company. Green Chef makes eating well easy with plans to fit every lifestyle. Now, Green Chef now offers more variety and flexibility than ever before with double the choices. Now, you can choose from all 24 recipes weekly with the option to mix and match meals from different preferences. Like, for instance, say you can do vegan one day, you can do keto the next. Now, do members of your household eat differently? Now you can order for every lifestyle. Vegan, vegetarian, keto, paleo, Mediterranean, fast and fit, gluten-free, anything you like, all in one box. I think it's fantastic. And I also think it's like, it's a bit of a like a little quiz for me as I set up my recipes and all the parts and I try to make it as good as I can. I think it's fantastic. Makes it easy and it makes it easy to eat healthy. Go to greenchef.com/onion135 and use the code onion135 to get $135 off across five boxes plus free shipping on your first box. That's greenchef.com/onion135 and use the code onion135 to get $135 off across five boxes and free shipping. It's the number one meal kit for eating well.
Right, well, anyway, so...
So,
right,
in your house, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go on.
Was there guitars lying around or was there actually a trumpet lying around as a
no,
kid?
No, no, it was like... or what was it, middle school, and they were like, you got to pick an instrument or you got to do, mm-hmm. what, strings or something. And I picked up the trumpet right away. I knew I wanted to play that. It was different.
Tell them why you picked trumpet.
Oh, because it had three finger buttons. I thought that'd be easy.
Easy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but it completely screwed my whole life.
I started on tuba. Of all things, I don't know why. I think I just wanted the attention, probably, because it was such a big instrument. And I loved playing it, but then, like, after a while, you're like, where do you go from here? Like,
yeah.
I don't see a tuba career in my future, necessarily.
Yeah.
And then in high school, I switched to trombone because I wanted to be in the jazz band, and there was really not a tuba, like, opportunity in the jazz band. So I picked up trombone, and I loved it instantly. It has the same... kind of like range as like a vocalist, like a tenor vocalist. And right. I just thought that was what it was more relatable than the tuba.
Mm. Also, when you get a good blues trombone, there's kind of like nothing like that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And And I think you really love like Trombone Shorty and stuff like that.
Yeah. Is the most embarrassing thing in the world for a trombone player when you push it out so much that it falls, that it breaks apart.
Oh yeah, I mean
pieces.
you get a better feel of when and where that happens, and you just try to avoid it at all costs. Right. But yeah.
I'm surprised there isn't something at the bottom that would like catch it.
I mean, it's more
especially for younger students.
Dude, it has to do about like maintenance of the trombone.
Right,
you got to get it off so you can clean it, which I don't do as often as I should do. But yeah, I mean, it has to come off.
Like, but even if you get like drawers from IKEA, they'll put a thing in that it stops it coming right out of your hand.
That's a fantastic point.
Mm-hmm. So maybe you could get a trombone from IKEA. Like a trombone
I was going to say we should probably ask IKEA to make a. Are they Norwegian, Swedish?
They're certainly Swedish.
Oh, the meatballs. They're Swedish, yeah.
Yeah,
we should like reach out to IKEA about making that.
Have you guys seen, I sent it to Billy and we did have a little bit of a chortle about it. Have you guys seen the epic moment where in an orchestra, a guy is supposed to hit a drum to finish off the thing. And when he hits the drum, the little bummy knocker that he used to hit the drum flies off and hits another person in the face.
Oh my God.
And it's his only job, the entire thing. And he goes, boom, hits it, and she
it's
just
the classic
no,
you had one job meme. Yeah.
It was the timpani.
Yeah,
it was the timpani, right?
Yeah. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
But don't you love my favorite thing in that was that it was called a bommy knocker.
A bommy knocker, yeah, that's what I call it.
That's what it's called.
That's what I call it. But I just love this lady's reaction. It's almost as if the lady knew that this guy was going to do it because she just kind of looks at him and just walks
She looks at him like it's happened before.
Right.
Yeah. Wait, this is just bringing up the idea of, I feel like the greatest reality show ever would be like the dynamics of like the London Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Just seeing like who hates who and who can't stand the other people and who wants to try to steal every show. And like, I feel like that'd be hilarious.
Yeah. Have you guys played an orchestra?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've done a bunch
but
of stuff.
Like brass in an orchestra, you literally sit there for 20 minutes and then play one note and then you sit there again. Like, you
Unless
literally
you're the
don't
soloist
do anything.
Or something. Mm.
No, but I mean, like, in.
And you know, there's like stereotypes for orchestra, and then the brass is always the drinkers, isn't it?
Yes. Mm. The trumpet players are always kind of like the macho ones, which I don't think really makes sense, but we're typecast that way.
Yes.
Mm. Yes. I don't know what it says about the trombone.
Dude, trombone players
but...
have no personality. Like, that's just not a thing that's associated with the instrument.
Their biggest personality is the fact that they play trombone.
Which isn't much to work with. Yeah. It's not much to work with.
The trombone is their personality.
I mean, historically, obviously, in music, we've got this. There's been some big trumpet heroes, right? Mm. Louis Armstrong, that guy who went to the moon. Chet Baker.
Well,
who are the trombone heroes?
It's like J.J. Johnson, Kai Wendig. Who was Louis?
I mean, it's hard because it's like there's not a Miles Davis of the trombone,
right?
You know,
yeah. It's
is that going to be you?
Oh,
where you put me on the spot with that? I mean, I would love to become that, but it's not something that like a person can choose. It's something that the world chooses for the person.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'll work my butt off to see if
you,
I can.
I mean, you guys sound great. I've listened to a lot of it. Well, what's the latest album?
Pornography.
Yeah,
that just came out like 5 weeks ago. Yeah. Now the whole thing about that album was we wanted to showcase where horns fit in and like the modern musical landscape. Mm-hmm. Like, so we did EDM with horns. We did hip hop with horns. We did some like kind of singer songwritery stuff with
horns. Well, and we're always kind of seen as like backup. We're like, how do we change the perception of that?
Right.
Yeah. So we have to showcase it in all the different styles, and you get our friends on there that actually rap and actually sing on there.
Yeah.
You get a little bit of attention for that.
And we did spoken word from people in our lives that were just like, I don't know, we started working on it during COVID, and it felt so like isolating to be away from everybody, and we were like, how do we make this album like an inclusive experience for everybody that we want to be involved with it?
Yeah.
And so we just started having like, you know, some people sending us voice memos of stuff and try to incorporating that into the music. And then it got to a point where it was like, well, I mean, we would like to showcase our mentors on this and see what they say, and we would tell them like, hey, record something about trumpet or record something about just the horns,
like whatever
general.
Comes to mind.
Just like stream of consciousness,
and then
like
we turn it into a song and try to weave it in there.
That's cool. Great.
And that was really fun too.
So what advice would the two of you give with the instruments that you both have expertise in to a youngster who might be interested in picking up a trombone or a trumpet?
I would say learn your scales like everyone says, but then also just play along the music you like to listen to. Mm. Like, don't play all the etudes. That doesn't really help you that much. Play this music you like to listen to and enjoy, because then you're going to play all night and play, you know?
Right, that's what we did. It was like, it really clicked for me in particular when, you know, you have a song that you really want to learn and you just go learn it. And then the hours fly by because you're just having fun playing. You're being a part of something that you love so much, as opposed to like locking yourself in a room and being like, I need to know my chromatic scale or my, you know, melodic minor scale, which you have to do. I truly believe that like the 10,000 hour rule applies to instruments. It's like there's a certain point where in the beginning, you're like thinking about, oh, like this, you know, slide, it's like slide whatever six is this B flat or whatever. It's not, it's that'd be D flat. No. But yeah, and you're overthinking like the technicality of the instrument. And then at a certain point, you like get a threshold where you're just free and you're like, oh, I know what that is.
I know it's cliche, but they always say it's like learning a language, but it's true. It's like until you have the vocabulary to actually have a conversation, you're going to be thinking about all the words that you know. And then you don't actually get to have a good conversation with anybody.
Yeah.
So once you have a good conversation, then you're actually playing music.
Right. Mm-hmm. A huge part of it is just enjoying it, right? Because if you're enjoying it, then you're going to continue to do it more and more. Instead of, like you said, obviously you need to learn your scales and that can be a little bit rote, but you need to find like a few songs that you really love that you want to play.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's true with anything, like any, you know, people that play sports. It's like, well, you want to go and do a sport that you want to play. If you don't want to play it, then why are you doing it?
Just because you're athletic.
Yeah. Right.
Like that's definitely.
Well, Billy, I know you play. Dom, do you play anything?
I play a little guitar, but nowhere near as good as Billy. And I have a piano in my house that I like making sounds on, but I don't really know what I'm doing.
I totally agree. And I never learned. I didn't do the hours of scales. And, you know, I've seen it much more as a songwriting tool.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And my son's playing a lot of music now, and he's doing that. And I'm glad that he's doing it because I agree with you guys. That if you turn up in a room of musicians and someone says, okay, let's play this in E-flat, and then off you go and you guys can play, whereas I need to think about it a lot, and I never learnt music in that way. But I think it's really important if you want to sit in a room with musicians and just make music. I agree.
Well, I think you're 100% right about you were doing it to be a songwriter. Because like when we started, we were just trying to play music. So it was like we were coming from the performative aspect of it. So we had to learn all of that stuff. But now that's how we approach when we write music now, is like through our vocabulary of playing the horns. So I completely agree with you that if you're just going in it to be for songwriting, like anything will help you songwrite. Like,
and I think as a songwriter, I think it's a great idea when you're really good at an instrument like you guys to then try and write a song on another instrument. Neil Finn told me that actually once. He said, just go to an instrument that you don't know and write a song on that. And then it gets you out of those patterns, doesn't it?
Right.
That you're like, oh, I know that that sounds great after that. I know that this sounds good. But if you're there and you're going, oh, I don't know what I'm doing.
I can tell you that's so true because I wrote like some of the first songs on our first album on piano and I didn't even like think about them for trombone until I got melodies I really liked. And I'm like, yeah, this would make sense for trombone. And then I'd move it to trombone. And I'd be like, all right, we have an album here.
Nice.
But it's true because when you do it on an instrument that you don't know so well, you're thinking in like the simplest way.
Yeah.
And I think that does a lot of editing for you because I think especially with jazz, it's like very performative for the artist itself a lot of the time. And I think doing that, like moving to a different medium, is almost like a really good way of like just editing your own
taters kind
of. So here's the thing, what makes jazz? I've always wanted, have you got that answer, Dom?
Yeah, I think it's just being cool.
Is it just you reach a certain amount of cool and then it's jazz?
If you're wearing a suit and someone comes over to you and says, what are you playing, and you kind of go, don't worry about it, it's probably jazz.
It's probably jazz.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
and what about you guys? What makes jazz jazz?
Yeah, what is jazz?
Jazz is, it's spontaneity. It's like creative spontaneity. So it's like everything that's going on, we have like a baseline for what's going to happen, but everything else is improvised.
Okay, when you're on set and you're doing a scene and you go off script, that to me, that's jazz. It's not like someone saying, "Here, this is the scene, here are your characters, here's the setting." Do it how you would do it.
Right.
That's the jazz part of it.
Right.
Because it's like, we know what the melodies are. We know what the band's going to do. To me, that's the setting and the character.
Right. It's exactly like whatever the script is. That's just what the notes are.
Okay.
But that's not at all what the like actual, the actual scene, what you do with your partners, that's the jazz.
Right, the nuances.
Right.
It. you know.
Where does the word come from, do you know?
When did
somebody first say?
It was originally jazz with two S's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was like, it was an old like New Orleans thing. Like, really? And I don't remember if it was like originally another.
Just a sexy song, jazz.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously the kind of...
I just can't see where you're leading us to here.
We don't know, dude.
I don't know.
There's another word that starts with the J and ends in two Z's, but I won't go there.
He's talking about jazz. That's okay.
Actually how jazz started. No kidding.
That's how everything starts.
What about jazz movies? Because there are a few examples of jazz in the movies. There's a Charlie Parker film. There's La La Landy recently.
Right. Yes. There's
a song about Chet Baker, a film about Chet Baker. Ethan Hawke,
Let's Get Lost. Right?
Yeah, but
he acted in that.
You're right. There's an Ethan Hawke one. Are there any jazz films where you're like, actually, that's pretty good? It's a Scorsese film.
Okay, I would say not film, but definitely a TV show on HBO called Tremé.
That was
made by the guys that did The Wire.
Uh-huh.
And that was like kind of about New Orleans, and it was like jazz and food and kind of like a true crime thing
but they
had cameos by actual like jazz artists, and you were like, all right, someone here knows.
Well, in the backstory of one of the characters that was a jazz musician, like they literally pulled from all of the famous jazz bloodlines and like made this character.
Nice.
And it was like, oh, this guy's coming to New Orleans from New York. He's like one of the New York jazz guys.
Right.
Like, you're not welcome here kind of a thing.
Yes.
Like, I mean, it's been a really long time since I've seen it.
But that was the one that actually was jazz versus just doing a biopic about a jazz musician.
Yeah, right, because, right. Robert De Niro learned saxophone for that New York film. New York, New York?
I like to call it saxophone.
Oh, yes.
Because it's a very sexy instrument, isn't it?
And then what's his name? What's your man called from Ghost Dog, The Way of the Sun? Oh, Forrest Whitaker. Didn't he play
Bird? Forrest Whitaker played Charlie Parker. Yeah,
right.
He played Bird.
That's a relatively highly rated film about a jazz musician.
Don Cheadle also played Miles.
He did play in Miles Ahead.
Right. Yeah, that was like pretty recently. And
everyone always comes up to us and says, like, what's La La Land like to you as jazz musicians? And that's a really hard question to answer because I don't think if you're going to talk about La La Land and actually make a movie about jazz, it wouldn't take place in Los Angeles.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that, I think, I don't know. And that's a hard, we know a lot of the people who are involved with that. So it's hard to like,
the jazz scene isn't as strong in LA as it is in other cities.
Yeah, not at all. I mean,
it's a town made up of all like studio players. So it's like, I don't think it has the same environment that like New York does, where it's kind of like, oh, you go to club and you go to like jam sessions and you try to like, you know, drop your like knowledge on people kind of. It's like kind of like New York jazz stuff is like a constant like rap battle, but music.
Yes.
It's you go to different clubs that have different sessions and you try to like prove
one
yourself
up,
to these
people. One up on the people.
And that's
very New York is very much like how you would imagine like people doing stand-up comedy, that world where it's like somebody has 15 minutes, then we're going to show you how good we are kind of thing. That's New York jazz.
And you guys went to college, different colleges in New York. Did those different colleges have battles, jazz battles? Like if you could went to the same bar, and what was your college called?
SUNY Purchase.
SUNY Purchase.
Manhattan School of Music.
And then were they known like Manhattan School is better
I don't know. It's like very independent there. Okay. So it's like, actually we'd go to a Dizzy's Club and I'll go do that jam session.
Right.
So it wasn't like a school thing where it was a team. It was definitely not a team thing.
Oh yeah. No, there's no team. Yeah. There's no team in the jazz.
It's like everyone, it's very cutthroat. Everyone's for themselves kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Even like interschool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, we talk a lot about like how we don't think music education is like on the right track, really.
Oh.
Not for colleges.
No. I think for
There is not one university doing music education right.
What should change then? What should they do?
It should be more like how a record label approaches their artists. They should develop artists. They should, like, it shouldn't be here, you're going to study trumpet. Like, because at the end of the day, if you get a diploma, it doesn't mean anything to being a musician. Like, you're not going to be a successful working musician getting a diploma.
So, yeah, and with
so
that.
You need to have more experience in the game.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right.
And I think they should just be a lot more selective instead of it being more of like a money-making thing for the schools. Like, they accept people who can pay for it, and then it's kind of like this cyclical process.
But it's unfortunate because that person's not going to be a musician at the end of the day.
Right.
Like, they're just kind of taking their money.
I mean, I think, like, out of the people that we went to school with, like, I don't know if any of them are musicians still. Maybe, like, I mean, they definitely have other jobs.
Yeah,
like, they definitely aren't 24/7 musicians. So it's like, if that's what the system is, I don't know if that's like a working thing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
What about you, Bills? Anyone in your year that you went to drama college with still working?
Yeah, it's the same thing in drama. I would say probably out of a class of 20, there's probably 4 or 5 still actors, maybe.
And I bet you...
You're the best.
I don't know them, but I'll also say you're the best.
Billy's the damn goat. So yeah, he is. Great. But I mean, I bet those 4 or 5 people too, they probably hustled outside of school.
Right.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Getting
a job in the arts is so difficult anyway, isn't it? And you know, that's why everyone always tries to put you off when you decide to do a job. I mean, how was your family when you guys decided?
Oh, they were about as chill as can be about it.
They were very supportive.
Like, whatever you do, just work as hard as you possibly can.
Right. Yeah. And I think the other thing with the dynamic of the school was we were like working while we were at school. So we kind of didn't give the school as much priority and they didn't like that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we were like, when we get out of here in 4 years, like we need to make money as a musician.
Yeah. And then they would like ask us to get them into restaurants
and get them like get our teachers. Them gigs. Right. Our teachers would do that.
And we'd come back from doing gigs and they'd be like, why'd they hire you? They should have hired me. And it's like,
you're the teacher?
Like probably because you don't.
Why are we paying to be in
of
this environment? Basically? Right.
It was we learned a lot and it was a really good time in life to like, you know, work really hard at something. Mm. But I just don't think that they're really
it sets you up for success.
Yeah, I just don't think they're doing it right. And I'm not saying I'm gonna be the guy that's gonna go in and fix it, but I'm just saying I went through the process and I think like there's a better configuration here.
Yeah. Now you guys moved to Los Angeles for a little bit of music, but also for some TV stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. We did. We moved here
in 2018 or 2017.
I can't remember the year, but we were like starting to film our Bravo show, and like half of it was going to be filmed here, and we were thinking about moving here anyway.
Right.
And we were like, "All right, sounds like a good as time as any to like do this."
Yeah.
And yeah, we did, and we've loved it ever since.
Wow. Was the Bravo show, was that the one, the Deep South one?
No, that was the Travel Channel.
I think we were on Travel Channel at the same time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When I was doing Wild Things.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, nice, so nice. Our mentor in like the food world is this guy, Andrew Zimmern, who had a show called Bizarre Foods.
Bizarre Foods.
So he kind of got us into the story of how we have so many stories, you guys. It's so hard to like pick and choose. We met Andrew when we were performing somewhere, and we just hit it off with him like right away. And he was like, "Will you guys come to Thanksgiving at my house in Minnesota?" And we were like, "Absolutely." And then long story short, he started a production company and we started working with him on stuff.
And were you also doing slightly bizarre foods or less bizarre stuff?
It was
a subset of Bizarre Foods though.
Well, that Travel Channel. It was like, you know, Bizarre Foods presents our thing.
But it wasn't weird foods.
No.
I mean, that's totally Andrew's stick.
Yeah, that's Andrew's thing.
He does like strange stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. And then some of these people that you perform with. How was Snoopy Doggy Doug?
Amazing.
That was just like a month ago.
Really?
He and Little Baby did a collaboration and we played horns and wrote some of that, and that was awesome to do.
That's great. He's lived a life, hasn't he, Snoopy?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
He's been around the block.
I think he'd like the color of the walls in here too.
I think he probably would. Yeah. John Baptiste, Billy and I did a thing with Stephen Colbert for the 20th anniversary of Rings, and John Baptiste was amazing.
So going back to the whole living in New York, going to school thing.
He was the first person we met when we moved to New York City, and we would play with him. Like the first gig we ever did with him, he was like, "Hey, come to this address. We're going to perform tonight." Our first night in New York City.
Wow.
And it was Lincoln Center.
Wow.
He just didn't lead that. And then we'd play with him like literally in the subway.
Wicked.
Yeah.
We'd play with him all over the place. Yeah. And that's what we were saying was like all of this amazing education took place outside
with
of the school.
John. Like it Wicked. Wasn't at yeah. school. Okay. It was like playing with John.
He's so cool and friendly. And then Major Lazer.
Oh yeah. The story about that is just insane, by the way.
Guy Fieri was getting a star on the Walk of Fame, asked us to perform at that. And we did it with Brett Michaels, and Diplo was there, and Diplo was like, "You guys, you're coming on tour with me," and we just joined Major Lazer from then.
Damn.
And we loved Major Lazer before. I mean, like, yeah. Lean On is just...
Lean On's been a pot de flore.
Right.
Oh,
I just
remember, Light It Up.
Yeah.
So many great horn songs.
Oh, too. Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was like, yeah.
And just right playing with him is crazy because it's like one of the few times we play with pyrotechnics.
Right. Yes.
Where you're like in your in-ears, they're like, all right, move up a foot because in 3, 2, 1, boom, like, and like an explosion happens.
When are you going to be a horn player and like have to avoid explosions? Really?
Right.
That doesn't happen in the orchestra, does it?
Not at all.
See? Yeah, I mean.
Only when they miss the mallet on the timpani.
Right, exactly.
I love it.
Billy and Dom eat the world.
Well, we did ask you guys to bring some food because Billy and I do like to eat the world every so often. And with you guys being, you know, pretty big on food items,
we're pretty big on food.
Yeah, I mean, if you couldn't tell by looking at us, we'd know a thing or two about food.
Listen, Billy and I enjoy food too. We're doing a little nationwide tour of restaurants that also include food.
So, by the way, favorite segment on the show.
Thank you.
I love this.
Oh my God.
Like, so, we are actually fans of the show,
that's cool.
You guys.
No, yeah.
That's so cool.
I
love it.
When we found out you guys had a podcast, we were like,
oh, yeah.
Oh my
Our
God.
Publicist, when we were promoting the album, they're like, what shows do you guys want to do?
We were like,
do you want to do Jimmy Kimmel? We're like, we want to do the Friendship Onion.
Yeah.
Get us the Friendship Onion.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. Let's not forget they're here to promote an album. Yeah, so, you know, Hornography.
Yes. Hornography. And, we can talk about
talking
it.
Talking about trombone, the trombone on Hornography is amazing.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was beautiful.
I appreciate that.
I mean, the album's great. But,
very talented.
Talking about, you know, bringing the trombone out front. Because the trumpet, I find, you know, cool bands, cool indie bands, trumpet's good.
Totally. Like, ska has so much trumpet in it.
Oh, I love trumpet in it. You just hear that coming through.
Radiohead use a lot of trumpet.
Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. Blur used to use quite a bit of trumpet back in the day.
So we're getting a trombone out there now. That's what we need.
That's the goal. That's the goal. I mean,
the trombone.
Trombone has never had its time.
Well, it's because it doesn't have something to stop the thing from running. IKEA's going to fix it.
I know,
that.
I was going to say, not to do a call.
Will you open that? We'll stop messing about with
oh
it.
Oh, my God.
It's actually really hard to open.
Billy, I can help you. I feel
oh,
like.
John, I
think
feel
he
as
needs,
if
teeth. I... needs teeth. You're gonna. It's going to go everywhere.
Wow,
you need
I feel
teeth.
Like. No, it's going to go everywhere. It's not.
You need teeth. You're never going to.
That is unbelievably difficult.
Use your teeth.
Dom, tell us what it is.
Well, we've, Adiv and Ezra have brought us Urume.
How'd you pronounce it?
I don't even know how to say it, really.
So, dried squid. Here comes Johnny with some shit.
Yeah, John.
There we go. There we go. Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
No, typically we know everything about...
Whoa!
Like,
is it stinky?
Hang on.
Let me get that. Oh, yeah.
No, typically we know the names of everything, but this is the thing that we just refer to as the squid jerky.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what it tastes like.
So on tour, is this something that you guys
all
will have
all the
bus?
Damn time.
Okay.
Yes.
And people get, I mean, they just don't know what to
Our
do with that.
Our band hates us because it smells bad.
I mean,
bad.
It does stink.
I mean, if you open that in a short flight, people are not going to be pleased.
We never bring that on the plane.
We would be banned.
Oh, my God.
Goodness.
Yeah.
I'll read this little blurb about
Please
it.
Please do, Dom. I'll be very silent over here.
Dried squid or urume.
I'm going to say urume.
Yeah.
Urume.
Yeah, in Japan, is a processed food made by drying in the shade or machine drying the squid whose internal organs have been removed. Just getting a little graphic here. God. Has been used since a long time ago. That's very specific. Has been used since a long time ago in the southern part of China as well as Southeast Asia. In Japan, surume is considered to bring good luck, whereby it is used as one of the auspicious gifts exchanged between families or a bride-to-be or groom-to-be. In this case, surume is written out in kanji characters representing three wishes: long life, happiness, and to stay with your wife or husband for life. It is also referred to as atarime in a slang word. Now, you guys just eat this raw dog, or do you have a little soy sauce?
No. I don't know what this brand is, but usually you don't need anything. But I'll let you know if I would add.
And usually it's sweeter than you would imagine it to
be.
Are we starting this?
Yeah, you guys. Okay. Well, grab a little bit.
Okay, it's like a 3-2-1 count kind of thing.
Grab a little bit.
You grab it.
If you guys have listened or watched the podcast, I'm sure you know that we rate it out of taste, aesthetics, and Billy's category, usefulness.
How useful is it?
Oh, well.
You know. In your life.
We're going to find out how useful
Ready,
it is.
Ready, Dom. It's coming your way. I'm getting a lot.
Yeah, get a lot of squiddly diddlies.
I will, just a little warning situation here.
Yes.
Is it's quite chewy.
Okay.
So just know what you're putting in. It might take a while
to
break down.
Well,
as Dom gets
it's actually, I read
half of this.
I read in one part of this that
it's actually now, the word for it, urumi, is now used in Japan as slang for something that gets better.
Really?
Oh,
so you're like, yeah, it's a bit, it's a roomie. It's so like when it first starts, it's not great, but it gets better.
How interesting.
And how's that?
Well, should we
Ready?
Try it?
Yeah, let's
Cheers.
Do it.
Three,
Cheers, two, boys. Yeah. I like it already.
Oh, it's sweet. This is a good one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things to be mindful of with squid when you're eating it is a tiny little baby squid is almost the size of a grain of sand. And within like 9 or 10 months, they can be like bigger than an American football. So eating squid, not too bad if you're eating that out of the ocean.
Mm.
Gets big very quickly.
I like your random knowledge.
I agree.
As a listener of the podcast, I always look forward to those nuggets you drop.
Pretty good on animal stuff. Billy's the music man. It's good, it's great, guys.
I apologize. This is the first day in your new studio.
Mm.
We brought the smelliest damn thing we could have brought.
No, don't apologize because it's tasty.
It's a terrible smell.
What did you think it would taste like? And then what is it? What's your aftertaste situation?
Honestly, I thought maybe it would taste a little bit more like it smells because the smell is quite profound, but the taste is quite subtle.
Right.
Sweet.
It smells like it would be squid, but then when you chew it, it's kind of like this
shredded beef,
almost like acidic-y sweet.
Like if you rehydrated that, I feel like it could be interesting. It could get interesting with that.
I like it.
I'd want to make.
Do you want to know what's in it?
Yeah, go on.
Right, number one ingredient.
Squid.
Yep.
Number two, sugar.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Number three.
Some sort of
vinegary.
Yeah.
Lactose. What's lactose?
Is that like
milk?
From milk.
Where is that coming in?
Well,
maybe that's something that's in the squid itself.
Or maybe that's the thing that, I don't know.
I couldn't tell you.
Like the enzyme that would help to like
Four
ferment
is vinegar.
It?
Four
vinegar,
is vinegar.
Yeah.
Then salt. Quite a lot of salt. Mm-hmm. And then MSG.
Yeah,
which apparently isn't.
It's not bad.
Remember, everybody thought it was bad.
No, that was literally a racist thing.
Yeah,
it was never.
And it's never been bad.
No, we cook with MSG at home. Like we pour MSG into stuff.
First of all, it's great for making anything already umami, even more umami.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like we have high sodium stuff, so we always use it instead of salt, and it's great. Yeah, really amazing on popcorn.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that was just a lie.
Oh yeah.
I don't want more of this, Billy.
Oh, I like it too. Nice recommendation, guys.
Thank
I'm
you.
Put this in my shelf.
I'm going to have that as a snack.
That's a great
snack. Is it good or bad for you? Does it matter?
I guess it's high in sugar, but
I mean, it's probably better for you than like most jerkies are.
Yeah,
right. I would say that it's better for you than like beef jerky.
Is it high protein?
I assume. I don't know how much protein is in like a squid in general. But.
It says here that it has a long shelf life, has various ways of cooking, such as soaking it in water to make a soup stock, or simmering it with seasonings and pickling it with other vegetables, including kelp and herring roe, to make matsume tsuke, which is matsume style pickle. It's tasty, you guys. How did you get introduced to this?
We were doing America's Got Talent, but in China. And they did a twin season from twins of all around the world, and we were the American twins.
Really?
And we asked like somebody, like a runner or whatever, to go get us some snacks, and they brought this back, and we were like, we need 20 more of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And and honestly, there, if you go to like Asian markets or shop there, there's always like 20 of them. Mm. There's always like a bunch of different kinds.
Mm. It's very Moorish, isn't it?
Mm.
It's pretty good, right?
I love it. Mm. It's a good luck. So people give it as good luck. I read in one of the parts, I can't find it just now, but because it lasts a long time, then people give it as a gift at weddings because the love will then last a long time.
Aww.
So that I think that's a lovely thing.
I should have given it to you for your wedding bills.
Hey, Dom, if you ever get married, I'll give you a big tub of that.
That's a good reason to get married.
I know. That is absolutely delicious.
I'm glad you guys enjoyed it.
Hey, let's give it some scores.
Scores, guys.
Right, taste. How does it taste to
slash
you guys?
Flavor.
Out of 10, you can give
it's
it
not
points.
A flavor bomb.
No, I'd give it a solid 8. Solid 8.
I like the flavor. I agree with you. It doesn't smash you over the head with flavor. It's quite subtle, but I just like the taste.
It's like sweet and vinegary, which I think if you can accomplish that, that's always a solid move.
Right.
And I think like that's the first thing I get from that.
What I like about it is it's really well balanced.
Yeah.
It's not like lopsided and saltiness lopsided.
And I think also the fact that we want
to
keep eating more of it is we should give the taste score a little.
Like Billy said, it's more. So Adif,
My bad.
You're good, you're good.
You have a dent in your face, a D. Yes. Ezra, what about you for a flavor taste score? And you can give decimal points if you like.
Does it complicate the averaging scenario with the end?
Johnny's all about it.
7.6.
Oh. 7.6 for flavor.
Because I see opportunity for them to actually develop the flavoring. Like, I could see them adding to it and try to, like, really push it over the edge. I think there's room for improvement on it. Having said that, I think it's a great snack.
William? I'm saying don't change a thing. It's a 9.8 for flavor, Dom.
Ooh, we love it.
Absolutely love that.
I'm really glad. I'm really glad. Like,
I think I agree with Ezra. It's great, but I'd like to maybe see maybe a chili version of this.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
You know, a sesame seed version of this. Mm-hmm. So
Johnny Clues. Mm-hmm. Sorry, mm-hmm. Carry on.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
I was going to ask Johnny Clues if he's ever ate this. Have you ever tried this? Come and grab a bit while Dom's giving his flavor mark.
Yeah, John, I feel like you need to understand this.
Come on in, Johnny.
I think this is going to be well up your street,
yeah,
John.
I think you're
don't take
this,
the
John.
Whole packet because I'm still eating it.
Also, John, if you're the one who went out and got it, thank you.
Amazon.
Mm-hmm. I've not given it scores.
Flavor.
I'm giving it a 7.8.
Nice.
Oh, not bad.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Aesthetics.
How does it look?
Oh, God.
It's a negative.
It looks like sawdust.
Does not look good. I quite like the packaging, and there's a delightful little girl on there. But yeah, I mean, the actual product itself, not great.
No.
To be fair, I've seen really good packaging. No, of it, it's like there's a pink one that actually has like a cartoon squid on it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I like that one.
Well,
it's more
I think
lighthearted.
If you just like were in the grocery store and saw that, you're not buying that.
See, as you noticed, Dom, I'm wearing quite worn jeans today.
Yeah, got rips in them, do you know?
And I had it on my jeans, and I didn't know what was squid and what was rips in my jeans.
Yeah, nice.
So it's confusing that way.
Yeah, it's confusing.
And it also reminds me, you remember when Sean Astin was on the show, he brought gum.
Yeah, Big Chew.
Big League Chew. It's like the squid version of Big League Chew.
Except for Big League Chew loses its flavor after 1 second.
Yeah, it does.
This holds its flavor.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm going to take a break on it.
Okay.
I want to save some for the rest of the crew.
No, of course.
This is a good opportunity for them.
Well, in terms of aesthetics and the look, I'm going to give it a 4.
Oh, ain't the look of it. I'm going to give it an 8.
Oh, wow.
Kind of has that shredded cheese look to it.
I don't mean to bring this kind of energy into here, but I kind of assume this would be like... Actually, no, I can't say that. I won't say that.
Oh, yeah. Negative. The first negative scores ever.
It kind of looks like it would be like a...
See ya!
Oh, my God.
Like something maybe you'd find in like...
See ya!
I can't say it.
Thanks for wasting like 10 minutes of the segment.
Oh, sorry.
Something you would see in something that he doesn't want to say. Well, it's like a sex shop.
I don't know. It's something.
No, I'm not going to say it.
Something you'd find in a hardware store.
Yes.
We're going to go with that.
We'll go with that.
I don't know if I could. Oh, you going?
Scores.
What was I saying? Oh, my.
I think you almost
said score?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to just round it off at a 4.
Okay.
But 4 maybe even seems too high for that.
3.2.
Oh, wow.
Okay, yeah, it's quite damning. I think we're going to be in a good place here for usefulness, because I think there's quite a few places that you can take it on the road, as you guys have experimented with. I'm sure, as they said in the blurb here, it works well in like soup stocks.
Yes.
Because you can kind of hydrate it again. I think kids would like it and older people would like it. I'd like to bring it to like a little kind of gala event. Maybe a fete.
Lovely.
It doesn't make your hands in any way really sticky.
No, it doesn't.
Do you add it to things?
You can.
I mean, you guys are, other than a stock, can you use it for
like a seafood, bananas?
You could chop it.
I would say because of the texture, it would be hard to add to like, I was thinking you could like add it on a taco or something like that for the texture, but I would say once you're actually eating it, it'd be hard to like pull
away.
I
think if you pulverized it, you could season something with it.
Oh, that's
like if you were like a hand roll, if you pulverized it and then kind of like sprinkled it on a hand roll, kind of like furikake or
that could be interesting,
something like that, or bonito flake, something like that.
True,
because bonito flakes they also use in stocks, but you also can have sprinkled. It just on sprinkled on top of stuff.
I'm going to say that's pretty useful.
Like you said, opening up in a contained space like an airplane or a train, people would hate
the smell.
But it does taste good.
I was just going to say, because it's such a thin like bag, too. Like, it's you could put it in between two textbooks and a backpack. Like,
right.
Not that I read or do anything like that, but I mean, if you're a student.
If you did, yeah. You
know, if I did read.
High scores for me for usefulness. I'm giving it a 9.
Tom, I'm not going to go that high, but I'll give it an 8.
Okay. Boys?
8. I agree with
Can that. I just ask a question about the category of usefulness?
Yes. Please.
Is it like, because to me, I see it being useful in terms of its travelability, but I don't necessarily see it as useful in terms of cooking with it.
Right. Well, here's, you've got to the very nib of it there. You've got to it, Ezra. Now, Dom always thinks of it as...
Can I take it to a football
game? But when I came up with it, what I meant was, can you make a cake with it? Can you add it to soup?
Okay.
If you go to the cupboard and you go, oh, all I've got is some bread, a tin of Heinz soup, some dried squid, and some button mushrooms, is there something I can do?
I mean, we could have given it the title versatility.
Right.
But I think usefulness is quite
good. I like usefulness.
But if you're saying it could be, the category could be versatility, I would say it's not very versatile.
Okay. But I've now that Dom has brought in, like, putting in a backpack and all that, I now put that onto the same thing.
I think we got to give it high for usefulness because we are eating it dry, but we also could cook with it. Yeah. I think the fact that you even could cook with it,
right?
We should just give it points for that.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll give it a 5 then. For
okay.
Usefulness.
Well, good.
Because it is somewhere in between.
Halfway there. Well, you can't get any more in between than a 5.
No, it is. You're right. Right. It's varied right down the middle.
Was that it? Did you score as well?
Yeah, 8. I gave it an 8.
Oh, that's
Billy
right.
I,
we went 8.
We were on
John,
the same page.
Johnny, what did you think of it?
I thought that was absolutely fantastic. I'll be honest, when I got in the mail, I'm like, this looks disgusting.
Mm.
And so I'm surprised it was as good as it was.
Isn't it good?
It was like, great.
That's better than any beef jerky I've ever had.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. There you go.
And maybe healthier for you than beef jerky.
We don't know that. I don't want to put that out as a fact, Dom, if it's not a fact.
Yeah, good point.
Could, if anyone are we, knows.
Are we never going to be able to buy these again because of the audience is going to just buy
everyone's
going to
go possibly. Crazy for this stuff, especially when somebody tells us that it is healthy and it's very good for your lower intestine and also your spleen.
Well, should we end with a song?
Oh.
Yes, Billy. Yes. Yeah, they're there.
Look, we can't have the guys here
and
not play some music. This is two of the greatest musicians in America.
Yeah.
Well, and don't forget their new album.
Pornography.
Yeah. Pornography.
Why not pornography. No. Hornography.
Why don't we take a tiny 30-second break? You guys grab your instruments and we'll get it going. Well, we're back.
You sound great, Billy. Yeah, you sound great.
Shall we just do this?
Yeah, let's try it.
Yeah? You guys come in then. Why not?
Though the days are long, twilight sings a song of the loneliness that used to be. And in my dreams, you're always near to me. I see you in my dreams. Hold you in my dreams. Someone to me.
Take it away, fellas!
Woo-hoo!
That's jazz.
I loved it.
That was fun.
Yeah, man. That was fantastic.
You guys are both amazing.
Tom, you're great.
Maybe we should have rehearsed, but
no. All the good stuff happens in between.
I like the frayed edges to a song.
That was fun. That was really
well.
Fun.
We so appreciate you guys having amazing, us in. Yeah, man. We had a blast.
I love it.
So, where can people find your new album, Hornology? Hornography.
It's okay. Like, everyone says that.
Just at Potash Twins on Spotify, Instagram, Potash Twins.
And are you guys going on tour anytime?
We are starting end of September.
Do you guys know where you're going first and foremost?
Midwest first. It sounds like Minneapolis, Chicago, Kansas City.
And then I think we're doing New York. Yeah, and then New York, and we'll do East Coast from there.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We hope to catch you on tour at some point.
Heck yeah, you guys are both.
I think I know what song we're going to play.
Yeah.
I think we should do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, are you kidding?
We should that up and actually do it. That'd be great.
It's happening.
Brilliant.
I love it.
Well, thanks a lot for coming, you guys. We totally appreciate it. It's always nice having people that are passionate about what they do, and clearly you guys are. And it's brilliant to hear you guys like play music.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Lovely. Great positivity, great music. Bravo.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys. And we'll see you guys next week.
On the Friendship Onion.
Doodles.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.